49ers, welcome to the Morning Grind. I'm your host, Travis Mangone, here with Josh Sir Giant. We are here to break down the Thursday slate. We have a solid 10 games. We're going to skip the first two games, that start at noon. So we will mainly be covering the main slate. How's that sound for you, Josh? You excited for this slate?
Yeah. No need to waste time covering that two-game slate. I mean, we got a nice, healthy main slate here, so I think we should definitely focus on that. Yeah, everything's good on my end, though. Just excited to get another day of baseball in and enjoy some nice weather. We got some nice weather here on the East Coast, Travis. You're feeling that in Jersey, I'm sure. I'm right across the bridge here in New York. It feels like the fall weather, right? It's like football weather. It feels good.
Yeah, man, that's I'm used to my ears hearing football weather. I'm excited for we got the preseason starting up tonight, so don't forget that. We got preseason for Thursday Night Football, so that'll be fun fun to watch too. We got baseball, we got football, and then we got the golf starting up, so it's gonna be a fun weekend, man. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, speaking of football, our sponsor site PlayDraft has some really cool formats this season, definitely changing it up. Best ball is something that they've introduced, which is a lot of fun. Definitely give it a look, and if you haven't signed up, sign up with the promo code Grinders. You can check the Roto Grinders page and the reviews and promo codes. You can see all the cool stuff you get out of that. So definitely give that a look. But yeah, I mean, I'm just, like I said, just, you know, football's right around the corner. It's exciting. Really looking forward to it. And also check out the preseason package, right? Seth Yates has a nice preseason package in the marketplace for preseason. So if you want to make some money and get a nice edge, I heard people are making some good money off of that. So definitely give it a look.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely check that out. Getting those contests while you can. There should be some fun ones. So, but yeah, we're here for baseball. People are here for the baseball talk. People who are still grinding out in August, they want the content. So we'll give it to them. So, Josh, let's kick it off. We're going to go instead of game by game, we're going to do position by position here for this podcast. But Josh, let's kick it off with the top tier. We'll talk about the pitchers that are above 10.9 to start it off. We have Sonny Gray at 10.9, Yu Darvish 11.4, Danny Salazar 11.7, James Paxton 12.3, and Jacob DeGrom 12.7. So these are kind of the five main guys towards the top that we're going to be really looking at in the top tier. Josh, who do you like? Start breaking them down for me.
All right. So, this is a weird slate when it comes to pitching as far as we have three viable options in the top tier. Kind of reminds me, like hauntingly reminds me of the other day where we had Sale and Kluber playing on the same slate, both in good matchups. A lot of people took the route of playing both, and most of the GPP winners had both in their lineup because they both did what they were supposed to do. So it's kind of weird because we do have a lot of options here in the top tier that I'd be interested in. And I think I could take Darvish off of the list here for 11.4K. I'm just not going to have too much interest there just because I like the other options more. But the three guys I would have a lot of interest in is DeGrom here against Philly. Lots of strikeout upside against these Phillies. Danny Salazar, I think, has a ton of upside against Tampa Bay. But my favorite option of the group would have to be James Paxton going against LA. Gets that nice park boost in Seattle, pitcher's park. And these Angels strike out. You know, here's the thing. You look at the Angels, you think they don't strike out a ton. But against lefties, they do. 25% strikeout rate. Now, I know there's some limited sample size to this, and it does drop a little bit if you go last two seasons, look at a larger sample size. But this season in particular, they're striking out 25% is that strikeout rate for the Angels against lefties. Paxton, an amazing 30% strikeout rate this season. And that's a solid sample size that we have there, too. 30% against righties. So, Paxton's just the guy I'm going to have a lot of interest in just because I think I like the park factor and I like the matchup very much. So he's probably my favorite of this group, but DeGrom is not too far behind him against the Phillies. How would you rank these three, Travis? I would go Paxton, DeGrom, and Salazar. How about you?
Yeah, it's tough. I think Paxton will be number one for me. I think Angels got that low run total of 3.05. He's been really good. In the Boston matchup, right? He had 12 strikeouts. He's just one of those guys that's been absolutely crushing. Very safe, it seems like, right? It just seems like the upside is there no matter what the matchup, right? He kind of feels a little matchup proof at this time right now, the way he's throwing the ball. The real debate is, I think DeGrom is going to end up being number three for me, which kind of hurts to say, but DeGrom has had his struggles on the road. I get we've been wanting to stream pitchers against Philly, right? But DeGrom has really been getting up some hard contact. I don't fear the Phillies, but I fear this ballpark a little bit, just the way DeGrom's been playing. They just traded Jay Bruce. This team, I just feel like is kind of deflated right now. So I'm just a little worried about DeGrom. He might just be out there, not really caring. I know it's kind of a weird narrative to think, but I mean, he just has struggled on the road. He's been getting hit hard too. And I know the Phillies are not an offense to be scared of, but for some reason, I'm a little worried about the ground. Again, I still think he's a good play, but I just don't think he's going to be as necessary. I kind of like Danny Salazar though. He's going to, I think, be number two for me, closer to Paxton. I get it, right? He's $1,000 less. So that's a little bit of a nice savings. But on top of that, man, Salazar has been really good recently. And his strikeout rate has just been, you know, absolutely incredible recently. Like, you know, this season, Salazar, this season has a 39.7% K percentage against righties, against lefties 24.7%. The issue is walking though. That's the problem. He kind of can walk some batters, and against righties, the Rays walk 5.8% of the time. So I do think this is a good spot for Salazar in this ballpark in Tampa Bay. He's just been on recently and been on fire, and I think I want to get exposure to him. The real debate with Salazar is what lineup do the Rays throw out there. That's the one thing I'm going to have to watch for and see, because if they throw out a lineup that can be scary, I could see myself pivoting off him a little bit more. But I think Paxton's the number one with Salazar behind, and sadly DeGrom is number three for me. Hurts to say it, but with the way the ballpark is, the way he's been pitching on the road and some of the hard contacts he's been giving up, and just he just hasn't looked as right recently, and just with the Mets being kind of down recently, I don't know, it just seems like a spot where again, I think the Mets could win, right? DeGrom could have a good game, but if I had to pick, I think I'm going to go to the, you know, I'm going to go to Salazar for the upside and hope for the best there. But Paxton's number one.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you mentioned DeGrom's home and away splits here. And if we look at them, we just dive a little deeper. You can see he's had the exact same amount of innings pitched now home and on the road this season. 72.1 innings pitched in both sides. Now, you definitely see a big difference here. Now, while the strikeouts don't drop too much, he's got 88 strikeouts and 72 innings at home and 82 on the road. You see 70 hits allowed on the road as opposed to 53 at home. You see 35 runs as opposed to 22 at home. You see 34 earned runs as opposed to 20 at home. The home runs double, only giving up 7 home runs at home in Citi Field, which is a pitcher's park, going away to a hitter's park now in Philly. And he's given up 14 home runs on the road as opposed to that 7 at home. He's walked less batters at home, on the road, I mean, 16 walks on the road as opposed to 30 at home. But yeah, and you see that ERA jump up to 4.2 when he's on the road as opposed to 2.4 when he's at home. So there's definitely cause for concern with DeGrom on the road, and these splits are real. Especially, you know, one thing that sticks out to me the most there is that twice as many home runs give it up on the road than at home. So, and these Philly bats are sneaky. They do have some pop. If you look over at their ISO, you know, their ISO at 159 against righties. But you know, recently that's kind of been trending upwards, and they don't strike out as much as you think against righties anymore this season. Now with this this new lineup they've been rolling out, only a 19.3% strikeout rate against righties. So I agree that you should definitely be cautious with DeGrom. I don't think it's quite enough for me to drop him below Salazar, but I definitely think that it's close. So I think Paxton's a clear-cut tough option for me out of that. But why don't we drop down to this middle tier, Travis? This is like an interesting spot. Yeah.
Real quick, before we go to the middle tier, you said you didn't like Darvish. What about Sonny Gray, though? I don't mind Darvish. His guy that's in a new situation with, you know, having Grandal there to pitch frame for him. You know, he's just one of the best catchers at that. I don't know. I have interest in Darvish, especially, like, you know, if things line up. Like, he has a pitcher's on par. Say that that's the case. Say that the Arizona lineup, like, say they throw out a really gross lineup. I don't think Darvish is a terrible tournament play. We saw he was on against New York. Like, you know, maybe just go into, like, a new team will really, like, kind of revitalize him a little bit. Again, I don't know. It's kind of not, like, a numbers thing seeing that. But I don't know. I think it's just interesting, right? To see how well he pitched against the Mets that one time, and he has not looked that great most of the year. So I just thought that was interesting. Dodgers are a -160 favorite too. So they're, you know, I just think Darvish is someone I definitely have some interest in here. And as a tournament play only though. But what about Sonny Gray? I know you weren't interested in him. Are you interested in Sonny Gray or no?
Yeah, well, let me just clarify. Darvish is a guy that could break the slate any day he's on the mound. I mean, the guy has tremendous talent. And the only reason I'm just not interested in him here is I like the matchup and the spots better for the other guys that I mentioned that are in the same price range. But Sonny Gray, a guy I like a lot more in real life than I do for DFS purposes. I think that you can roster him in certain situations at certain price tags. But for 10.9, it's just too close to the top tier price tags for me to want to pay up for him. Don't love the matchup against Toronto for him. I think that this is you know, for his skill set, I think that this is not the best matchup. And while I don't think that he goes out there and gets lit up, I don't think he's going to come anywhere near paying off that 10.9K price tag. So going to be a little cautious there with Sonny Gray.
Just so you know, Josh, the last time against Toronto in Toronto was not too long ago on the 25th, and Sonny Gray put up 27.3 fantasy points. So I don't know. Game log chasers might be there, right? That's something that might end up happening. I'm not sure, but I don't think he's a terrible play, but I think he's far down on the list, and it just depends on – things depend on ownership on the between Darvish and Gray, right? Whichever one's maybe lower owned, maybe I'll go to, but it's I think Paxton is clearly like the number one in this tier. And then for me, followed by Salazar and Udegram. But yeah, the Darvish and the Gray, I think, are going to be two guys that end up being low-owned and kind of just like become tournament plays that people might get onto, right?
Yeah, I'm also curious about who they're going to put behind the dish for Sonny Gray. To put Gary Sanchez back there, the way that he's been playing defense, I wouldn't feel comfortable there. Sonny Gray throws a lot of breaking balls, keeps them low, and that's going to be a pass ball liability to move runners into the scoring position. So, and guys could run on Gary Sanchez now. He's just not throwing guys out. His pop time has actually significantly increased, decreased, I mean, as far as throwing the ball down the second base. So that's, you know, going to be a concern about who they put behind the dish. But, yeah, you mentioned Brad Peacock, right?
Yeah, we haven't talked about that tier, but yeah, let's get there. We'll talk about the mid-tier right now. So Brad Peacock, he seems like the guy that a lot of people might go to at this 9,500 range. What do you think of Brad Peacock here in this matchup?
Now he's like, if this matchup was like a month ago, I'd be all over it at this price tag for Peacock. Does have a lot of strikeouts, but potential, lots of strikeout upside, and this matchup is almost as good as it gets in the league against the White Sox. Problem is, it's in Chicago, and this is definitely a hitter's park, and Peacock has not been the Peacock he was earlier in the season. It's definitely a nice bounce back spot for Peacock, so I can see him coming out and getting back on track, but he's not cheap enough to where I'd want to throw him in as my SP2, and he's also not he's just a little too expensive for me to roster him as my SP1. So I'm kind of in a weird spot with Peacock. I think in tournaments you should definitely have interest because he'll probably go pretty low owned with recency bias. But as far as cash games, I'm going to stay away. But yeah, like I said, in tournaments, I think there's definitely merit there. I'll probably have some Peacock in tournaments just because of the raw upside in the matchup against the White Sox. How about you, Travis? How do you feel about Peacock here?
I think the reason is, hey, it's the White Sox. They're terrible. And Peacock has strikeout upside. Like, it's not a bad play. Again, he's just going to – I think he's going to end up being a guy that I don't end up going to. I think he's in this, like, mid-tier range where, I'm obviously – I think this is one of those slates where you at least have to have one of these guys in the top tier, right, of 10,900 and above. I think you're going to have to at least have one of them. And I just don't see myself going with Peacock as my SP2. It just doesn't sound like it's going to be a guy that makes sense for me to put in there at SP2 at this time. So I see myself maybe going cheaper because I'm going to want to be able to get some bats in. Again, I don't love a lot of these pitchers that are below Peacock. That's going to kind of be the problem we run into, but we'll talk about it for sure. So below Peacock, what do you think is Zach Davies in a matchup against Minnesota? Is there any opportunities for you there? I mean, the strikeouts have been very limited recently, Josh. You have any interest in Davies?
Yeah, his upside has just been too limited, and it's kind of unfortunate because he gets a nice matchup here against Minnesota for strikeouts. Like, you know, they strike out at a 30.3% clip against righties, but Zach Davies' strikeout rate this season, 14.4% against righties, 16.6% against lefties. He's just not a strikeout guy. He's a ground ball guy. He's an efficient guy. He's coming out and he's throwing pretty decent games just, you know, by pitching the contact and getting outs and getting ground balls. But as far as for DFS purposes, just not interested in Davies here.
Yeah, I think that's understandable. So let's go to the next couple guys. I think this is where it gets interesting in this $8,000 to $7,000 range. We have Lance Lynn, Vincent Velasquez, Tanner Roark, and Carlos Rodon. What's your take on these four guys?
We got your boy. Your boy Lance Lynn is on the mound, Travis. So I expect you to have a little bias in that there and have a little interest there. But yeah, Velasquez is a guy that tremendous talent. Do love watching him. Like I said, you know, I have a lot of real life favorites. He's one of them, but he's just too inconsistent for my liking. And these Mets batters just absolutely just absolutely manhandle righties that throw a ton of fastballs in the zone. And Velasquez is a guy that, you know, kind of just tries to paint the zone with his fastballs, get ahead early, and then throw those breaking balls for strikeouts. The problem is if these Mets hitters jump early in the count, they can really take advantage of that fastball. So I think I'll stay away from him. I don't think it's going to go great for Velasquez tomorrow. I mean, he could come out and throw a gem, like it's baseball, but and he does have the talent to do it. But for the matchup, I think it just doesn't fit well for DFS. Tanner Roark, a guy I could just say pass on. Just not enough upside there, and he's not particularly too cheap for me to really consider him as an SP2. Rodon, I'm just not going to take any pitchers against Houston probably for the rest of the season. So pass there. And did Australia in that tier? Did you mention Australia, or are we not dropping below 7K yet?
No, not below 7K yet.
All right, so, that's where I'm at. I think Lance Lynn would probably be the only guy. If I had any interest in this tier, it would be Lance Lynn. How about you?
Yeah, so I don't mind Lance Lynn. I'm a fan of him. I play him probably more than most. I think he's a guy that will just kind of get me by with double digits, and that'll be enough on this slate, I feel like, as my SP2. I wouldn't hate it, right, at 7,800. So I don't mind Lance Lynn. I'm wondering if he ends up becoming chalky. I'm not a big fan of rostering chalky Lance Lynn, so if that's the case, I might jump off. But I don't think he's a terrible play here against Kansas City. I just worry about the strikeout upside. That's the huge issue, right? Royals only strike out against righties 16.4% of the time. Like, it's just something I'm going to have a little bit of a worry with, and I'm wondering how chalky he'll end up being. The real question is, what's going to go on with Tanner Roark? He's looked a lot better recently, right? Like, if you just check out the game logs, last five starts, 23.3 against Cincinnati at Cincinnati, then at Arizona, 35.4. And Colorado 13.9, 17.5. Yeah, that's his last four games. So I don't know. I could see him maybe getting some traction. He's popping in a couple models I'm looking at. I don't love it, but I don't know. Are people going to end up being on Tanner Roark? Because, like, I just feel like you're going to have to roster some people down here. Who's the guy that's going to get ownership, or is it someone that's cheaper?
Yeah, for me, it's just going to be a pass on Roark. I never catch Roark on the right day, and it's because there's always better options than Roark, you know. So I think this slate is no different. I think there's better options, and there are some routes you could go on the slate, and there's one really cheap option that I have some interest in. You might call me crazy for it, but we'll get to that soon. But this tier, no thank you.
Okay, yeah, I just figured I'd ask the question again. I don't think it's something I'm going to end up doing. I don't know. Sometimes you see something and you're like, I don't think people will play him, then all of a sudden it happens. Again, I think Lance Lynn's the better play here in that tier. If I take anyone, he just seems like the safer option if I had to take anyone here. So, and then I'll probably pass on Rodon, and I get Velasquez. He's shown upside of the past, and he could actually crush the Mets here. Just be on the lookout. That Mets lineup could be really bad with Jay Bruce injured. Who knows? But I don't know. We'll see. Or not Jay Bruce injured. Jay Bruce being traded. But yeah, Josh, let's dip into the lower tier now. We'll go from Dan Straley on, basically. This is kind of the bottom of the basement. What do you think of these guys down here? Is there anything that draws your interest here? Because, again, we have to roster two pitchers, and if you're not going to end up paying up, we didn't have an interest in a ton of guys below Brad Peacock and below. So is there anyone here you're interested in?
There is, and let me just get the names out and say no. This way you know where I stand. Straley's a no. Estrada is a no. Wade Miley is a no, Skaggs is a no, Chris Smith is a no, Hamill is a no, and Blake Snell is a no for me. But that leaves Anthony Banda. Now, I understand he's a young kid, and we haven't really seen a ton of him, but looking at some of his earlier numbers, especially, you know, throughout his minor league career, the guy has really gotten better as time has gone on, and has really, like, sharpened his skill set. And I think that this is a good spot for him to showcase. I think he has that narrative of being that young kid coming in and being that fill-in starter and really wanting to show what he can, you know, what he's capable of. He threw a good game against the Giants, a team that doesn't strike out last game out. He struck him out, you know, seven strikeouts in that game. And plus, they let him throw 92 pitches, so they're going to be stretching him out a little bit. He's 5,600, super cheap. And if you're going to take a punt on any of these pitchers, I think Banda is the way to go, and it opens up cap for a lot of big hitters if you want them. And this Dodgers team, as good as they are, against lefties, they strike out at a rate of 23.6%. Now, I understand the WOBA is high and the ISO is high, and there's certainly cause for concern in Arizona when, you know, you see such high ISOs and high WOBAs. But the strikeout rate's there, and I think Banda has the strikeout upside to pay off this price tag. We don't need him to come out and throw, like, you know, an absolute gem. We just need him to come out and pay off this price tag, and I think that's something he could do here in this matchup. So I'll have some interest in Banda as, like, a flyer SP, too, if you really want to go cheap. I'm not, you know, in cash, no way. But in tournaments, if you really need to go cheap and you want to get some big bats in, I think there's some merit to going Banda here as your SP, too. But that's it for me in this lower tier. How about you, Travis?
Yeah, so I'm not a big fan of the Banda play. Dodgers 5.32 run total. They're just one of the best teams in baseball, and I'm just not attacking them. I just don't think it's a winning proposition. But Josh, if you want to go for it for cheap, and again, it's a tournament dart, so you can, you know, if you want to go for it, sure. But that's not going to be the route I take. If I have to take anyone in this tier, and again, I'm probably not taking many pitchers in this tier, I'll go with Tyler Skaggs. He's a guy that's been pretty good this year. I'm a fan of him. He's got a K percentage against righties of 22.8% and against lefties 23.1%. Again, it's not the biggest sample. That's kind of one of the worries there, but I think he's able to get the job done here. Everyone might look at his last game, you know, off the DL and be like, oh, you know, he wasn't that good. He got crushed by Oakland, right? And again, Oakland's a team that can mash lefties. And this is just a spot where his first game off the DL, people might be worried about that, but I'm not that worried. I get the Seattle matchup isn't the best, but we don't have a lot to work with. Like, we're working with garbage here. So if I had to go with anyone, I think I'm going to go with Skaggs. I just think he's got enough upside here in this spot. He's in a pitcher's park. I think he can get the job done enough at that price tag where you could be like, oh, 6,200. He got me 12 to 18 points around. Sure. Sign me up for that. So I like Skaggs. I think he can get the job done if you need a cheap pitcher. But again, I'm probably not really going down here. Do you have any interest in Dan Straley against Washington, Josh, or Marco Estrada against the New York?
No, I said it earlier. I passed on both of them. No, thank you there.
Okay. And like, I'm assuming it's the same with like Miley, Chris Smith, Hamill, and Blake Snell.
Yeah, I said no to them too. If I didn't go out of my way to talk about them, I'm not interested.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I just want to check and make sure. But yeah, I think that's it for pitching. We'll just head out of pitching. But let's finish it off by just saying, who's your top three options you had to pick on the slate, Josh? Just have to pick three. You have to pick three. Which three do you want?
If I had to pick three, it's going to be the same three in the top tier that we mentioned earlier. It's going to be Paxton.
All right, give me two in the top tier and then like one below. Two in the Sonny Gray and above, and then one below.
Okay, two in the Sonny Gray and above. I'll go Paxton and DeGrom, and I will go down to Peacock for below Sonny Gray, right below Sonny Gray. That's where I'm at. How about you?
Okay, I'll go Paxton and Salazar and you know, because I'm sure there's gonna be like a bunch of bats we want. I'll just say Skaggs as my three from a point per dollar perspective, just because you know, we need money to in order to get the batters in there. So I think Skaggs could be interesting down there, have some upside. But yeah, let's move on to the catcher position, Josh. What's your thoughts on catcher?
Well, you know, if you guys listen to our Weekend Grind podcast, you know our philosophy on catcher is very simple. We like to find a cheap catcher who you know, has some pop in his bat and correlates to where we're going to be going with the bat. So we'll probably stick around that area of philosophy again on this slate. I think a guy like Yadier Molina is in play here for 3.6 on DK. He's a guy that gets passed up on a lot. Usually like him better against lefties, but Hamill gives up a ton of hard contact, and he has the benefit of being in St. Louis. So definitely like Molina here a lot. And moving past that, I think Manuel Pina didn't work out on yesterday's slate, but today I think we should give him another shot here against Kyle Gibson. Kyle Gibson, a guy that just gets absolutely shredded, and this Milwaukee Brewers team coming off that cold performance last night. I think their offense could pick it back up here in this spot. And yeah, it's kind of thin. Catcher's kind of thin on this slate. The more that I'm looking, the more thin it looks like it gets. So, you know, it's just going to come down, like I said, to a cheap catcher who correlates to where my lineup builds go. So there's no catcher here that I'm going to spend up on, that's for sure. I'll probably just end up going to the cheap catcher that's on wherever I have a lot of bats and probably kind of like fill it in last. But right now, if I had to like pick two guys I'm really interested in at this position, it would be Molina and Pina. How about you, Travis?
It's definitely not a pitcher I like. Molina is hot right now. I understand if you want to play him against a guy like Hamill, it makes some sense. If I have the money for Gary the Goat Sanchez, like, I'm going to play him. Gary's hitting a lot of home runs against Rays this year against a fly ball pitcher in Estrada. That just makes a ton of sense for me. I would definitely play Gary Sanchez here if I have the money. But again, money might be a little bit of an issue since we want to pay up a pitcher. So it's going to be a spot where I know this is like a lame answer, but I probably wait till lineups come out and I see if there's any catchers that end up popping that are just super cheap that can help make my lineup work so I can pay up a pitcher a lot, at least in my cash games for sure. In tournaments, I'll probably try and correlate them, you know, as best as I can, but that's kind of what I'm thinking. I like Yasmani Grandal against Banda. I think he's an interesting option. If Austin Barnes is in the lineup too, I would go him. Grandal I normally like more when he's against a righty, but it's just the exposure to that Los Angeles Dodgers offense at the catcher position is just not a bad idea. And I don't know if Austin Barnes will be in there. If Austin Barnes is in there, I definitely think I'd have some interest. I think Dan Straley is a fly ball guy, and Matt Wieters is a guy that I don't love rostering, right? But he's kind of a streaky hitter, and he's been hitting the ball pretty well recently. If you look since the start of August, right? 2-2, 10-22, 5. He's getting some points. I wouldn't hate it, right? If you can put him in there, I don't think it's a terrible idea. He seems to be hitting the ball pretty well recently, so I don't hate that as a play. But again, yeah, catcher is not a position I love. I also could see going to Jason Cash, or he's a catcher that has tons of home run pop in Milwaukee and a good lefty park for hitters. If you want to take like that one-off cheap catcher that you think could go yard, I think Jason Castro is that guy. So that's it for catcher though. I think it's one of those things we really have to wait for lineups to come out to really give a full evaluation on it. But those are some guys that I think we, you know, have some interest in. But let's head over to first, Josh. Who do you like at first base?
Yeah, just and a quick heads up, as the day goes on, the lineups come out, we'll probably have a better feel of where we're going at catcher. And if you want to keep up on where we're at, you can follow us both on Twitter. You can follow me at Real Joshua Giant and follow Travis at Travis Mangone. That's at Travis, Mangone. But yeah, first base, loaded position as usual. If we're going to pay up for options, there's a few options we could look at. I think E5 is in a good spot here against Blake Snell. Always interested in his bat against the lefty. Problem there is the park downgrade in Tropicana, so that's going to make you a little bit hesitant. Really do like Matt Carpenter against Hamill. Again, makes a nice fine correlation play to Yadier Molina if you're going to go that route at catcher. Like Carpenter a lot. Another pay-up option we could look at here is Yuleski Gurriel. Now, Yuli has gotten very expensive at 5.1, but gets a good matchup here against Rodon. Now, his numbers against righties are very, very solid, pretty elite. But his numbers against lefties are solid, too. He has lots of pop in his bat. And I think at the stadium here against the White Sox, I think he gets a nice upgrade for hitters. So definitely would have some interest there paying up. For a mid-tier option, I like a guy like Eric Thames. He's kind of a value option on DraftKings at that price tag, 3.8. And he's multi-position eligible. You could also play him in the outfield. So first base and outfield, like Eric Thames a lot here. In Milwaukee, fabulous. I use that word, fabulous hitting environment here for Eric Thames. So, like him a lot against Kyle Gibson, who gives up a ton of hard contact to lefties. And we just know that he has that ability to get ripped apart here by lefties. So, Thames could have a huge day here. And I like him a lot at this price tag of 3.8. Probably my favorite point per dollar option at first base is Eric Thames on the slate. And if we're going to dip down a little bit deeper than that, there's two value options at first base that I like a lot. Chris Davis being the first one against Chris Smith here. Again, park downgrade in this matchup against the Athletics being in Oakland. But for 3K flat, it's just such a cheap price tag for Chris Davis, a guy with lots of pop in his bat going against Chris Smith. And on the flip side of that matchup, Ryan Healy going against Wade Miley. Healy had a big game against lefty earlier in the season. I believe he double-donged or maybe even triple-donged. He put up a lot of points. I remember that game. And it was against a lefty, and then I looked at his numbers against lefties after, and they're fantastic. So Ryan Healy, definitely a nice off-the-board play. I think he'll get super low ownership. So to sum it up, my best, my favorite point-per-dollar option here on the slate is probably going to be Eric Thames at first base. And if I'm looking for some value, I'll drop down to like Chris Davis or Ryan Healy. How about you, Travis?
Yeah, so I really don't love first base today. And man, it's going to be painful. I'm going to have to like die again on Eric Thames Hill, man. This is just awful. I know there's other people out there that keep rostering him and keep dying with me. Andy Means, I feel you. I'm sure you had Thames again today, and we got a goose egg again, an odds maker. We hate the Eric Thames. But I'm probably going to just play him again, right? It's a good spot against Kyle Gibson. Man, it's rough. I keep playing him in these good spots, and he always keeps burning me, but I'm probably going to be back on him again. At least he hasn't had a zero in a while. I guess that's the only thing I can end up saying about him. Oh, actually, he had the zero yesterday, so never mind. The game log hasn't updated yet. But yeah, he's just been painful. But I'm going to end up playing him again, I think. He just seems like a good value play, good exposure to the Milwaukee offense, and it's Kyle Gibson. Kyle Gibson is bad. Hopefully Eric Thames is just a little less worse than Kyle Gibson is. So hopefully, I think Eric Thames, I agree, good value play here on this slate. Some of these guys at the top, though, I'm not like a huge fan of. Also, you can go to Jesus Aguilar. If he's in the lineup, I could see him being interesting. Yeah, I could see going against him, if you want to. I don't think it's a terrible option. If you want to be different, you're Milwaukee stacked and you don't want to, you know, die with Eric Thames again, you can do that. But, so Carpenter against Hamill, don't think he's a terrible option to look at. Also, don't mind E5 against Blake Snell. I could see the pair going for a ride here. Obviously, it's more of a pitcher's park, but that's a guy that I think you could definitely consider. I don't see myself really paying up here at first. It seems like a spot where I might pay down because, again, I'm looking for some of these more expensive pitchers. And this seems like a good spot where we could pay down tomorrow. I know I said I like Danny Salazar, but I don't hate going to Logan Morrison. He's just a guy that has two home run upside that's really interesting, so I don't mind him. And I like your Ryan Healy call too, right? I don't think he's a terrible option to play. I would definitely have some interest in him. But for me, if I had to pick like two guys, my favorite two, give me Matt Carpenter and give me Eric Thames. What about you, Joshua? I'm only limiting you to two first basemen. Who you got?
I have the exact same two right now as I'm just messing around with some roster construction. Carpenter and Thames are my top two first basemen on the slate.
Yeah, I think that's fine, and we can head out of position. But one last guy I just want to note before we get out of there, for only $3,000 on DraftKings is Chris Davis. Man, again, Chris Davis, he's one of those boom bust guys. Can be rough, but I mean, when he hits the ball, he hits it far, right? So I don't think he's a terrible option for $3,000. I know it's not the best ballpark for him in Oakland, but this is a good matchup for him.
We sound like a broken record, man. We said the same exact things at first base. I said the same thing about Chris Davis.
I didn't hear you say that. I was probably zoned out looking at other stats, so. Yeah, sorry about that.
No, it's good because that means that we're in the same exact page at first base. So hopefully we're right because we're both on the same page here.
Yeah, for sure. First is definitely not loaded like it normally is. So it might be a spot where I just keep a tighter core tomorrow. But yeah, Josh, let's move on to second base. Is there anyone sticking out to you over there?
Second base is another tough spot, man. Like, it feels like you're going to have to pay up. Like, Jonathan Scope's a guy I'd probably have interest in against Chris Smith, but again, has that park downgrade in Oakland. Both these offenses, you know, would do much better in this. Like, both these pitchers are terrible. Wade Miley and Chris Smith both have the ability to get, like, completely lit up and be complete gas cans. But the issue is it's in that pitcher's park. So that's why I think the run total is a bit lower than we'd probably see. So Scope, again, you know, have a little hesitance with that park downgrade. Forsythe, as much as I said I liked Banda as a tournament option, Logan Forsythe is a guy who's just hit lefties so well throughout his career. I believe, I have the number somewhere over here. His WOBA is over 400 against lefties. I know that for sure. And this season specifically, this season 405 WOBA against lefties and 175 ISO, 434 BABIP against lefties for Forsythe this season, which is incredible. I mean, almost half the time puts the ball in play against lefties. You know, he gets on base, so that's good. So I think Forsythe at 3.1K is certainly a nice solid value option at second base. You want to go that route. If you're going to pay up, like if I have to pay up here on the slate for second base, I'll probably just try to find a way to squeeze Altuve in for 5.5. But I think there's also merit going to Paul DeJong here if we're going to complete this. Like, I feel like I keep leaning on these Cardinals bats, and it's just because Hamill gives up so much hard contact, and these guys are in a good spot. So DeJong is another guy that I would have interest in for sure on the slate. So that's about it. I'm going to just try to limit my exposure to that just because, you know, there's not a lot to love here at second base. So if we're going to pay up, I would go either Altuve or DeJong. And if we're going to look for some value, I don't mind some Logan Forsythe at 3.1K. That's where I'm at second base. How about you, Travis?
Yeah, so there's guys at the top I like, right? I just don't know if I have the money, right? Like Altuve, of course. I would love to play him against a lefty in Rendon. And that could be future MVP Jose Altuve, by the way. He's been just having an unbelievable year. But this guy is just against a lefty, you want to have him. So if I can get him, of course I want him. The problem is salary. I don't know if I'm going to be able to. Brian Dozier, too, against Davies is another good one. You have even Jose Ramirez against Snell. I don't mind. Daniel Murphy, if he's in the lineup against Straley, I don't think he's a terrible option to go to. Like, there's just guys that we could play here. But I just, like I said, I don't know if I have the money. Don't mind the Paul DeJong call, but I think I'd rather throw him in at shortstop. That's just my personal opinion of what I would probably do. No, but if I had to go cheap, right, there's, you know, there might be some, you know, cheap guys that I think we can throw in there. The cheap guys I would is if we get a Wilmer Defoe batting second. Yeah, sure. I could see myself going him for 3,500. You could also slide in Adrian Sanchez if he's batting second again against Straley. It's just cheap exposure to Washington. And I think we're going to want exposure to Washington. Speaking of Washington, we didn't mention Ryan Zimmerman, who crushed the ball yesterday. He's been, you know, he's a guy I just figure we should mention again.
It's against a lefty. Guy mashes lefties, man.
No, so it's against a righty. It's against Dan Straley.
No, I'm saying yesterday it was against a lefty. Against
Conley. Yeah. I do, like, but when Zimmerman's hot, man, like, when he's crushing the ball, I don't care. Like, he's a guy that I want to be on. So, yeah, I don't know. He's been hitting the ball a little better recently, and maybe this is the start of the hot streak. Who knows? But I feel like Washington's going to be a team that people want to play, and I just wanted to go back and mention him just to make sure. But if I had to go cheap again at second, I think it's, like I said, the Defoe or the Sanchez or maybe even like Estrubel Cabrera for some exposure batting second against Velasquez. He's only 3,400. Or I think Jed Lowry against Wade Miley is an interesting guy. He might get that bat in third there. Might be some cheap exposure to that Oakland offense. And they mash lefties, so I could see going him just as like a cheapie to kind of get you by. But yeah, I think it's second base. If you don't have the money, there's a couple guys out here you can, you know, save on. So I just wanted to mention them. But if I could spend up, I would love to spend up, because I think Altuve is going to be one of the, like, or he's arguably one of the top plays on this slate.
Yeah, can't argue that for sure.
Yeah, but let's head over to third base, Josh. And you know, so far we haven't had too many positions that we love. Is third base a spot where you have a lot of guys you love, or no?
Not really. I mean, Ryan Healy's third base eligible, so if you can't get him in at first, you can get him in at third if you want to get him in there. Justin Turner, I think, is going to be in play here against Banda. Again, Banda's a tournament guy I mentioned, but I think like that's a very, very rare case that you're going to use him as an SP2 in tournaments. So I don't think it's a bad idea to get some bats against him, and Justin Turner is a good route to go. If Travis Shaw is back with the team, I had him in yesterday's slate, and I had to take him out. He had like a family matter he had to handle, so they're not sure how long he's going to be away from the club. But if Travis Shaw is in the lineup and he's back with the team tomorrow, certainly want to get him into my lineups against Kyle Gibson and kind of handcuff him up to Thames. I think that's a good route to go. Don't mind some Alex Bregman here against Carlos Rendon. His price tag has gone up, though, man. Bregman is almost 5K now, so you're going to have to find some cap to fit him in if you want to get him in there. But I think if you have the cap and if you want to get some Houston stacks in there, Bregman is definitely a guy you want exposure to. Jose Ramirez, who I mentioned earlier, he's also third base eligible. I think that he's also in play. Todd Frazier, man, 3.5K. Absolutely went nuts yesterday on that slate. So looks like he's getting back into form here and fitting in well nicely with this Yankees lineup. So for 3.5K, I think he makes a fine value option on this slate. And I'm interested to see where they're going to go with their base if Rendon is out here for the Nationals, because I believe that he left the game yesterday. Let's see.
He left the game. I don't know reason was. But.
And he's giving them the day off tomorrow. So there you go. You have it. He's going to be out tomorrow. Manager Dusty Baker said that he's giving Rendon the day off Thursday. So it looks like we'll probably have some Howie Kendrick in there. And I think that Howie Kendrick would be in play on this late here against Dan Straley. So that's about it for me at third base. It just feels like a place where if you're going to spend up, you should just correlate to your stacks. But if you're going to play some one-offs at third base, I think Justin Turner, Ryan Healy, and Todd Frazier are not better. Todd Frazier specifically for that value on that price tag. And if Travis Shaw is back with the team, make sure you get him in there with some Thames, pair him up together.
Yeah, if Shaw's in there, I think he's going to be one of the top third basemen for me. I like him a lot. Speaking of guys up towards the top here, Justin Turner. I love him tomorrow against Banda. I think he's in a really good spot. Definitely have interest in him. And, of course, a guy like Alex Bregman or even like a Manny Machado, those are great guys. You have the money. Sure, I would love to spend on them, but it's going to be kind of tough too. That's kind of part of the problem. I don't know if this would be a spot I would definitely be able to spend, but and there's other guys I think I think Turner and Shaw, those are like two of my favorite third basemen if I had to really think about it. Looking at some other ones, like I don't mind, I like Lance Lynn, but if I wanted to get exposure to the Royals offense, I think I'd do it through Mike Moustakas for only 4K. I think he's a guy that you can have some interest in that is a good one-off. Could definitely hit Lance Lynn pretty hard there. We already talked about Ryan Healy, but plugging him in at third base so you can, play guys at first base like a Thames or a Carpenter or some other guys that we talked about. I think that's a great idea to go Healy at for $3,500. Definitely a way to save some money, a nice value play. Then we have Logan Forsyth. You talked about him before at second base, but you can slide him over to third too. But yeah, another position I don't love a lot, but Josh, if I had to pick, my one and two are going to be, my one, two, and three, I'll say are going to be Justin Turner, Travis Shaw, and Ryan Healy. How about you? Who are your one, two, and three?
My one, two, and three is probably going to be Justin Turner, Travis Shaw, and I like Ryan Healy, as I mentioned earlier, but just to be different, I'll go with Todd Frazier. So that's where I'm at third base.
All right, well, let's head over to shortstop. Not a position I normally love the roster, but there might be some guys today that I think we don't mind. Josh, who do you like at shortstop?
Didi Gregorius is a guy that's popping up here for me. I'm kind of feeling like it's going to be a nice spot for him against Estrada. I feel like Estrada's pitch types fit Didi's mold well for him to have a good game. It's nice hitters park here in Toronto, so definitely going to have some interest in Didi for 4.2. DeJong, as you mentioned earlier, you like fitting him in at shortstop. Well, here's a good spot to do so. Marwin Gonzalez, another guy against a lefty, hits lefties really well, has lots of pop in his bat, so I wouldn't mind going there. I think Corey Seager is going to get very, very overlooked here against a lefty, but if you look at his numbers against a lefty, 266 ISO, 438 WOBA, 429 BABIP, which is huge. 10% walk rate too, nice and patient at the plate, and he gets that park upgrade in Arizona, and his 35% fly ball rate against lefties is something that we could take into consideration. Only concern is that 23.4% strikeout rate against lefties, but I think that Corey Seager is a very, very nice tournament play here, a nice fine handcuff too if you're going to play guys like Forsyth, if you're going to play guys like Justin Turner or Chris Taylor. I think that it's a good spot to correlate. So I wouldn't overlook Corey Seager here in tournaments. Definitely not in cash, but I think in tournaments there's some merit to be had by playing him here. Semien, another guy I think that has lots of pop. 3.4K too, a nice value price tag on him. And you get him against the lefty and Wade Miley. So that's about where my interest is going to be at shortstop. How about you, Travis?
So I actually don't mind shortstop. I think there's some good plays here, like Marwin Gonzalez for 4,700. I like. I like the Corey Seager tournament call. He's a guy that I would definitely make sure to put in my Dodger stack. So I was stacking up the Dodgers or even mini stack with him. I also like the price tag on Didi Gregorius for 4,200. And that's a cleanup hitter, Didi Gregorius, to you, Josh, because he's been batting cleanup lately and he's been hitting the ball pretty well. So I'm a big fan of Didi. He's been hitting the ball really well this season and I've been rostering him a lot. So I like him here in this spot against Estrada. Don't mind getting exposure to him. But the cheapie to really like is Marcus Semien and Estrubo Cabrera. They're really like the two cheap guys that I think I have the most interest in here for 3,400. And then again, like the whole Defo Sanchez thing, like I said at second, same thing at short. I have interest in them as well, but I like the Semien and the Struble Cabrera price tags. I think they're good options too tomorrow if you want to go cheap at shortstop. That's about it for short, man. Not a lot of hitters we love it, so we're kind of grasping at straws here, it feels like, to try and find hitters that we absolutely love right now, but hopefully the outfield gives us some more luck here. Josh, is there anyone in the outfield that you like?
Oh, boy. I know the more that we're diving into this slate, the more I'm feeling like it's kind of a pitcher slate. And now, just load up on pitching and just try to find some cheap bats because there is some good value options and there's no priced up options that we're in love with, right? So what do you do in that situation? You take the pitching and Try to find some value on the bats.
Yep, I think I agree. I kind of thought at the start that's how it would end up being, just because I didn't like the pitchers. But I've been thinking about it, and it's just like the hitters are just not as great as we were hoping, obviously. And looking before, I thought that's how it would be. But like the more we've talked about it, it just is getting me thinking that more and more. That just feel like we're going to have to pay up a pitcher tomorrow for sure in both spots, and it should be interesting.
Yeah, like I said, it feels eerily familiar to a few nights ago when we had to pay up and just put Sale and Hoover in there together, right?
Yep. You said it at the start, too, and I had the same feeling, and it just sounds like that for now. But, yeah, what I don't know, man. Outfielders now, is there anyone you like? I think it's more loaded than you would think based on the other positions, so it might be a spot where we can get some good exposure to guys. But who do you like in the outfield?
I'm going to start with the Washington outfield. I think that they certainly make sense. I think that you could get some Bryce Harper in here and some Goodwin. And Adam Lindau is outfield eligible on DraftKings for 3.1K. So if he's in the lineup, I think he's a nice cheap value play, cheap way to get exposure to this huge run total for the Washington Nationals. Moving over to that Mets outfield, Jay Bruce is traded now, right? He's in Cleveland?
Yeah, he's in Cleveland now. So I'm guessing it'll be Granderson, Conforto, Cespedes in the outfield.
One of my favorite tweets I saw tonight, it said Mets trade Jay Bruce to the Indians for a minor league pitcher with the terrible ERA. People don't seem too happy with the trade. But, yeah, you take him out of the mix, it definitely knocks down this Mets offense a few notches. He has lots of power that he brought to this lineup, and did really well with runners in scoring position for them to bring in some RBIs. So you take him out, I still think there's some interest for me in Conforto. And maybe, you know, Cespedes' price tag is caught up now. It was like 3.5K on DraftKings for way too long. Now it's at 4.1, so I think he's in play. And I think Granderson's going to step up and do something big here now that, you know, he'll be back in the lineup. So Velasquez's struggles this season and throughout his career have come against lefties. So I wouldn't mind going with Conforto and Granderson on the Mets side of this outfield. Now, for the Yankees outfielders, I think that Brett Gardner's in play. Estrada, like you said, fly ball pitcher in a hitter's environment, so definitely something you want to look at. Clint Frazier, too, and Aaron Judge. The way I'm going to handle these Yankees outfielders is that if I'm doing a Yankee stack, which I'm not sure if that's the route I'm going to go again. Yesterday it worked out, but if I'm going to do a Yankee stack, I'll get full exposure to this outfield. If I'm not, I'll probably stick to a core of, like, Gardner, DD, and Todd Frazier. Those are the guys I'll have the most interest in outside of just doing a full stack. So that's where I'll be over there. On the other side of the slate, if we move down a few games, I do like George Springer a lot now that he's back. Gets a nice matchup against Rendon. I remember Chris Prince, our very own Beer Makers fan here at Roto Grinders, did a six-pack once, and he said, people really sleep hard on George Springer's numbers against lefties. If you look just objectively, he's one of the best hitters in the league, like top number one hitters in the league against lefties. 302 ISO is huge against lefties. 420 WOBA, 324 BABIP, 12.2% walk rate too. And the guy can steal bases. So you put all that together, he's just a beast of a play on this slate against a lefty. So really like him a lot at 5K. And probably get a good amount of exposure to Springer here against Rendon. I'll try to find the cap to get him in. This entire Milwaukee lineup is in play, as we said. So I think that if you're going to do a Milwaukee stack, don't forget to sprinkle in some Domingo Santana and some Ryan Braun. And also don't forget that Eric Thames is outfield eligible on DraftKings. I wouldn't mind some Chris Taylor if I'm going to take any Dodgers outfielders. 372 WOBA and 211 ISO, 410 BABIP. Just his strikeout rate's huge, so I know that it's like a boom or bust option. 27% strikeout rate here against lefties, and Banda does have some strikeout upside, so I wouldn't go too crazy there. But I think the top outfielder I'll have a ton of exposure to is just going to be Nelson Cruz. Got to go back to the well against the lefty with Nelson Cruz. Guy is just a career lefty masher, so going to have a lot of Nelson Cruz in all formats on the slate. Think he's one of the top cash game options as well in the outfield. And Chris Davis, by the way. I like Chris Davis a lot against Wade Miley. So, and Trumbo is 3.5K against Chris Smith, and Mancini is 3.4. These Baltimore bats are very underpriced. So you can, you know, put Trumbo, Mancini, and Chris Davis in the lineup, and, like, all three of those guys are under you know, 3.5K or below. So nice value stack there on the Orioles here against Chris Smith. But that's where I'm at on this on the outfield. How about you, Travis?
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of plays I like here. I think Bryce Harper, obviously, like against Dan Straley, I'd want to make sure I get him in my Washington stacks. For sure, if I'm playing Washington, I want to try and get him in there if I can. I love Springer and Conforto at the top here. Like, they're two of my favorite outfielders up here. I'm a big fan of them. So they're guys I want to get exposure to for sure on this slate. Ryan Braun, of course, I would want to get him against Kyle Gibson. If I do the Milwaukee stacks, I don't want to get him. Don't love him as much as a one-off. I'd rather go, Conforto as a one-off if I had to pick. But yeah, I don't mind Braun for the Milwaukee stack side. I love Chris Davis tomorrow. Recently when I've loved Chris Davis, though, it has not worked out. But against the lefty, this is a great spot for him. It's not the best ballpark, obviously, in Oakland, but against Wade Miley, I mean, this is a great spot for him. He's got 30 home runs this year. He's probably got at least 10 more in him. So hopefully tomorrow's one of the days. I like that price tag for 4,200 a lot. If you get Rajay Davis batting first, too, wouldn't mind getting him in there for 4,100. Don't hate that. And Yoenis Cespedes is still underpriced, right? 4,100, that just seems too cheap. Same with Granderson, right? 4,100, if he's batting first for the Mets, that could be interesting. Interesting to get him in there. Doing those Mets outfielders against Velasquez could be very interesting. I get Jay Bruce being gone does hurt them a little bit, but they still have some really strong outfielders with the Mets. Obviously we like the Astros against Rodon. Guys like Beltran, he's a guy who's a switch hitter. He have a good opportunity against Rodon, so I don't mind him. Eric Thames, too, you can make him outfield eligible and just throw Matt Carpenter in at first if you want, or any other first baseman you like. You can easily do that in order to get exposure to Thames. I like doing that. And like a Dexter Fowler, man, he's a guy that I think is an interesting option against Hamill. I would definitely be considering. Max Kepler, he's a guy that he's a cheaper option for 3,700. I know he's a lot cheaper over on FanDuel. I like him. He's a guy, lefty power hitter in a good lefty power hitting park. I think he's got a really, really good candidate to hit a home run tomorrow. So I'm going to have exposure to him for sure on the slate. Going back to these, Jason Hamill has been getting hit pretty hard. Gritchick's a guy who like kind of smashes righties. He's been a lot more reverse splits. I like Gritchick a lot to hit one out. I think it's a good spot for him against Hamill. If he's in the lineup, I'll definitely be considering him as a cheap guy. Maybe just throwing in as like a couple one-offs, cheap one-offs that, fit in with my stacks that I think can hit a home run. So I like him a lot. There's one more guy down here. I was trying to think, I thought of, but I'm losing who it is. Josh, how about this? Tell me your three favorite outfielders if you had to pick tomorrow to hit a home run. Pick one in the top tier, mid tier, and low tier. And while you're doing that, I'm going to find this last play because there was a guy I liked and I'm losing it. I don't know why I lost him. But yeah, tell me your top tier, mid tier, and low tier favorite home runs. And then after that, I'll give you mine.
It's any outfielders eligible as an outfielder on DraftKings?
What'd you say?
It says any outfielder that's outfield eligible on DraftKings we're going by, right?
Yeah. Anyways, outfield eligible.
All right. And we'll go what? Top tier is going to be anywhere from what? 4 to 5K? Or 4.5K?
Yeah. We'll go 4.5K and above, 4.5K to 3.8K, and then 3.7K and below.
All right. So, top tier is a toss up for me between Springer and Cruz. I'll probably go with Springer just because he has the park upgrade, and he's been crushing lefties consistently, more consistently than Cruz this season, even though Cruz's career numbers are better. So he'll be my top option. I'll go with George Springer. And my mid-tier option will be Eric Thames, and my value home run will be Trey Mancini. So...
Okay. So I don't know, dude. I can't find this guy that was down here. I don't know who it is. So if I find it, I'll tweet it tomorrow. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just going crazy. But I like your picks out home runs. I kind of think I like mine a little more. Again, you said Springer at the top. I'm gonna go with Conforto. I like him a lot tomorrow for 4,700 to hit a home run. He's a guy that's definitely a decent value to in the outfield compared to some of the other guys. I still think 4,700 is too cheap. He's normally priced above 5K a bunch. I like Conforto a lot to hit a home run. I talked about him before. I'm going to talk about him here. Chris Davis, man, he just has huge upside, right? He's got 30 home runs this year. He's a guy that's going to hit 40 home runs this year at least, right? He's got more home runs coming in. I mean, I think a spot against Wade Miley is really good. So I have a ton of interest in him tomorrow to hit a home run. And then if I had to pick my last guy in this tier, I'm going to go with we'll go with Randall Grichuk. Like I said, I talked about him before. I like him. And I think the guy that I was actually going to talk about before was Melky Cabrera against Lance Lynn. I like some of the lefties against Lance Lynn. So, yeah, I think the guy that I was looking at before that I was talking about was Melky Cabrera. So if you want to do like a mini stack of the Kansas City Royals, I don't hate it. But I mainly target like those lefties against Lynn if I had to. But yeah, Randall Grichuk will be my below 3.8K home run call. But yeah, that's about it for me for the home runs. Josh, do you want to head into the stack of the day?
Yeah, let's head into the stack of the day. Let's do it.
All right, yeah, so if you guys don't listen to the Weekend Grind, we kind of do our stack of the day. And yesterday, me and Josh went pretty chalky with our stacks, and they kind of bit us in the butt a little bit. So hopefully we can turn it around here and do a little better with our stack. But yeah, we'll head into the stack of the day. Josh, you want to kick us off with your favorite stack?
Yeah, I'll kick us off. So I'm going to go back to the well here with the Brewers. Just really, really like this spot for them against Kyle Gibson, especially if Travis Shaw is back. That does make a significant difference to me because I want to get some Shaw here against Kyle Gibson. Kyle Gibson just, you know, absolutely gets shredded. If you look here, 344 WOBA to righties, 382 to lefties, 382 WOBA to lefties. So you want to get these lefties in like Thames and Shaw. And huge ISO too. Sierra pushing 5 against lefties, 4.6 against righties. And if you look at these numbers here for these righties on this Milwaukee team, 184 ISO, 323 WOBA, 316 BABIP. I feel like this is a good spot for them to get back on track and have a big powerhouse day. And they get the huge benefit of being at home. Milwaukee is one of the best hitting environments in the league for hitters in Major League Baseball. So that definitely is a spot I'm going to go back to. Lock me up. I'll put the Brewers as my top tournament stack on the slate. How about you, Travis? Who's your stack of the day?
Yeah, so my stack of the day, I think I'm going to head out over to the Dodgers. Don't know what their ownership is going to be, but I just think it's a good spot for them. I'll load up on them in this spot. They get a good hit. They get a good hitter's park against an inexperienced guy like Banda. Maybe people end up like seeing the Gabe log and going after him, and then maybe the high price tags on the Dodgers keep people off him, because I'm thinking maybe with the high price tags, maybe people go to the Astros instead. I don't know. Maybe after they let down, maybe not. But I just like the Dodgers. I think they're in a really good spot, and I want to get exposure to guys like Turner, Bellinger, Seager, and you know he's a lefty, and people maybe don't want to play Seager and Bellinger against a lefty. But I'm not expecting Bandon to be in there for a while, and you know these guys can hit lefties fine. So I just like loading up on these Dodgers, and you can also be different by you know, taking some of these guys at the bottom of the order. Like if we had a Kiki Hernandez in there, like Yusel Puig, like you know, people maybe don't roster them. So I like the Dodgers. I think I'm gonna pick them as my stack of the day.
All right, I like that. I think I might have some Dodger stacks out there too, just to hedge life against that Panda call as I made earlier, which I, as I said later on, you know, in the podcast. According to my roster construction builds, I don't think I'm gonna have to go that route. But you know, I just want to clarify, when I say a cheap guy like that in a tournament, like a dart, there's always going to be super risk involved. And another reason why he would be, you know, game theory wise, he makes sense, is because I do think that if this Dodger stack does become popular, you're gonna have a nice little advantage by having that hedge, that, you know, that leverage play and having Band in there, but. That's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, no, I'm Josh, I'm coming at you for making that Banda call. If I lose my money on my Banda teams, it's all your fault, and I'm going to blame you for it.
Dude, you have no idea how many times that happens. We mentioned a guy, I'm like, he's super risky, and then I get like a Twitter comment like, hey, you said to play this guy. And it's like, yeah, I also said he was super risky and only in tournaments. Was he 4% owned? Yeah, well, that's why I said that it made sense to play him, because I thought he had the upside to you know, to have a good game. Boom or bust options are always going to be boom or bust options, and there's always going to be game theory and different approaches to take, and we do our best here on the show to make sure that we clarify when a guy we think has high risk, so you shouldn't put him in your cash games, and you know what you're getting when you put him in there. When it works out, it's huge, you know? When it works out, that's great, but sometimes it doesn't, so For that reason, in cash, just to you know, make it clear, in cash, I think I'm just going to be paying up in the top tier for both my pitchers on the slate.
Yeah, no, I'm just messing with you. But I think it's an interesting slate, and if you want to double pay up for pitcher, the problem is I don't think you're going to be able to pay up for these bats, so I think it's going to be an interesting slate. I think from a term perspective, it's going to be super interesting. You know, you're going to have to make a decision. Do you want the double pay up for pitchers, or do you want to get those bats? It's going to be fun. Should be a good time, and I get it's not the best slate, but, you know, a lot of people might be saying that, and don't be negative, right? Just be positive, have a good attitude, and, you know, do the regular research. Don't get lazy because it's a slate that you don't love, right? But I know baseball can be a grind, but you know, we just got to keep grinding at it, and you know, keep enjoying it, because we can play DFS every day, and we got to always keep in mind it's something fun that we need to enjoy. So yeah, thanks for joining us, guys. Really had a good time talking the podcast with you. So for me, Travis Mangone, and Josh Sir Giant, we are out.